Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, May 20th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website at wmata.com on the Accessibility Advisory Committee page. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining this meeting through phone calls. You can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time in the order we receive the virtual hands. I do request everyone to please keep yourself on mute unless speaking, because it helps us eliminate any external noise. So I thank you in advance for that. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before your comments, because it helps them in doing their job well. It also helps people who are on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is, and when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them in fully understanding the meeting context. We also request everyone to please describe yourselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and I have dark hair. Any members of the public who have connected on this meeting, if you would like to make public comments, we do have that section about 5:35 this afternoon. What I would ask is if you're able to do that, either send me a message in the chat to let me know that you would like to make any comments so that we can put your name on the list, or please raise your hands when we begin the public comment section so that we can have all the speakers in the order that they inform us. And any members of the public or even AAC members, if you're making any comments during the public comment section, we have 2-minute timer for each speaker, and that's because we want to make sure that if we have several people who want to make comments, everybody gets an opportunity to do. Chair Semelford, at this point, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then take AAC roll call.
Sure, you may do that. Go right ahead.
All right, thank you. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. And if somebody could confirm if my screen is
showing.
Okay, thank you. So as soon as I finish reading the agenda, we'll go through the roll call of the committee members. After that, Chair Semelford will have the motion and review and approval of today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will receive reports on accommodation reports, customer service reports, and if any, outreach report. At 4:15, we will have Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Awards. At 4:20, Mr. Blake, Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services, will give us, will discuss the WMATA budget fiscal year 2025, any service impacts on Metro Access Service. Afterwards, Chair Semelford, Allison Anderson, Operations Manager of Metro Access, and Mr. Blake will have a discussion of Metro Access Customer Guide updates and any suggestions for that. The last topic for today's meeting is an update about non-dedicated service and abilities, right, which will be led, which will be led by Mr. Blake. At 5:35, we will have the public comment section, and then the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now and going to the roll call. When I call out your names, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Hi.
Vanessa is connected with us.
You alert. Audio now unmuted. Menu bar.
Present.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. Rico Dancy.
Alt C. Space. Windows.
Okay, thank you, Rico.
Alt
C. Email.
Alert. Audio
on
now
camera.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Hi. Present.
Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Okay, thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simoneau. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the master for today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. Chair Samford, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. First, we're going to do the review and approval of the meeting agenda. We got a fully packed agenda. Are there any additions or changes that need to be made? If I hear silence amongst the wonderful group and choir here, I make a motion that we approve the agenda as is.
I move.
All those in favor, are there any nays or abstentions? Hearing none, we're going to move the agenda as is. Next is going to be the prior meeting minutes. Are there any changes, corrections, suggestions? Anything else that needs changes to this to last month's meeting minutes in April? Hearing none, I put forth someone to put forth a motion to approve the meeting minutes as is.
I approve it is.
All right. Second. All right. I guess hearing the crickets. Unless there's any abstentions or nays, we will consider this April meeting of subcommittee meeting minutes to be approved as is. All right. Next is going to be Ms. Anderson Allison with Accommodations, Customer Service, and Outreach.
Thank you, Chair Semelford. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm a Black female, middle age, wearing an Access Services shirt today in blue, and with a twisted hairstyle. It is my pleasure to introduce Dolan Chittums with MTM, who will provide our customer comment resolution report from our last session. Dolan.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums from MTM, African-American male with glasses, long locks. So during the AAC meeting held on April 1st, 2024, there was one outstanding public comment that required further investigation. The one comment made by the member was an inquiry regarding the inability to use the Metro Access card to exit the Gallery Place Metro station due to the installation of new fare gates. The member was asked to contact Anew and provide their contact information so that their concern could be addressed. However, there was no further contact with the member. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on April 15th, 2024, there were three outstanding public comments to be addressed. The first initial comment by the member pertained to the request for a follow-up call regarding the late trip credits received. The member was contacted and their concern was addressed by the MAX team. The second comment was regarding the operator's behavior towards the member. An investigation was conducted and a follow-up call was made to the AAC member, during which a voice message was left disclosing the investigation findings and corrective actions that were taken. The final comment was sent via email by a member who had a question about communicating with the automated system. The member was contacted and the concern was addressed. Now moving to the commendations. During the month of April, Metro Access received a total of 498 commendations. The recipients were First Transit with 69, TransDev 81, MV with 149, Challenger 74, Next Merlin / MVA 106, MTM 0, Eligibility 1, and Abilities Ride 18. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Dolan, for that. As it relates to outreach events, there has not, I don't believe, unless Mr. Blake has some information regarding any outreach events since our last meeting. However, we have had customers that have contacted our office for various concerns, of which we have jumped on those and addressed them timely as they have come in. And that concludes my customer service and outreach report for this session.
All right. So again, Ms. Anderson, thank you for those reports. And now do we have anyone for Michael Wilson and AAC Metro Access Safety Awards?
Yes, we do. I think is Mr. Eric Overton on with TransDev this afternoon? Eric, are you on? I see him. Eric,
yes.
If you're yes. There you are.
Yes,
okay. We have Mr. Eric Overton from our service delivery partner, TransDev. Eric is an operations manager with that team, and he is going to do the recognition of our illustrious driver for this afternoon. Eric?
Thank you, Allison. Good afternoon. My name is Eric Overton. Like Allison said, I'm an operations manager here at TransDev on Hubbard Road. I'm an African-American male, no hair, middle age. I will be introducing our operator for the Michael Wilson Award this year is Miss Tayoka Boone. She's been a professional operator with Metro Access for 17 years. She's served as an operator, inspiration to new operators, and she also served as a shop steward, where she's done a wonderful job. She's willing to assist in any way that she can as long as she's been here. So I just want to introduce to some and present to others, Ms. Tayoka Boone.
Ms. Boone, would you like to address the committee or say any words?
Free to do so.
Good evening, everyone. African-American female, long braids, wearing my Metro Access shirt. I just would like to say thank you, and it's an honor and being honored. And it's a pleasure working for Metro Access for the last 17 years.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Boone. And Mr. Overton, is Ms. Boone also the recipient of the AAC Safety Award as well?
Yes, ma'am, she is.
All right. A double winner this afternoon. So congratulations, Ms. Boone. Job well done. And thank you for all that you do for our Metro Access customers and our operation overall. We really do appreciate you. Thank you so much. Back over to you, Mr. Semelfort.
All right. Our first topic, a long-awaited and detailed here decision about the budget as it relates to Metro Access service and fares. Where is our fearless leader, Mr. Blake? I know he's on one of these screens. Oh, there he goes.
Good evening, good afternoon, everyone. Christian Blake, black male, low haircut. I'm wearing a black jacket today, a white shirt, and a Metro lapel pin. So, as you all know, we had a very, very tough budget session this year, but your advocacy has certainly paid off. I won't belabor the discussion. The only change, quite frankly, the only change you're going to see is that the Metro Access fare is going from a flat, well, a fixed $4 to $4.50. $4 to $4.50, and that will begin on July the 1st. The service area is unchanged. The service hours are unchanged. Bus and rail will continue to provide service. Our general manager is committed to continuing to expand service. You'll be hearing a lot about the Better Bus Network. Some of you, in fact, are participating in that process. But any changes that come about from the Better Bus Network or other adjustments for this fiscal year 25, will not impact the Metro Access service area or ours. So it's a great win. The leadership of the region has come through for Metro, and them coming through for Metro means that the, in part, the Metro Access service will not look much different than it does now, other than improvements. Obviously, we're looking for improvements, but in terms of your ability to schedule a trip, the times and the hours are not changing, but there will be a 50-cent fare increase per trip. So I'm available for any questions on that matter.
And you know, I have two questions for you, Mr. Blake. Oh, let me put down my hand. So just to be clear, that this is going into the minutes. With the service areas, is no change just for this fiscal year, or is it for at least 2 years as I look at the resolution under that clause?
I would say for this fiscal year, even though the budget process seems very positive for a two-year period, we're taking the Metro Access service area and hours on a year-by-year basis. So for this coming fiscal year, the Metro Access service area and hours are unchanged.
Okay. Then the second question is about the fare that's going up to 450. So that's up to 450 for basically the flat fare. So will it remain a flat? Because there could be fares, obviously. Like, I know trips of mine are $2 still. Correct. But so it's up to 450, but for the most part, it's basically a flat 450 for most people.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Questions from anyone from the AAC members? Anu?
This is Anu, and I do not see anybody's hands up.
The other big one, I know Denise is going to ask because I know she's going to want to speak next, but I'll still thunder a little bit. So this new fare, how is this going to be communicated for customers? Because we presume it will begin on July 1st, 2024. Is that correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be announcements as you call in. There's going to be a range, much like when we adjusted the pickup window last year. We're going to engage in the same sort of communication with all customers moving forward as well. So you're talking about the IVR, you're talking about robocalls, you're talking about text messages now that we have that capability. So it's going to mirror a lot of what we did last year before the beginning of the fiscal year, and that's going to begin on June the 1st.
Okay. So we're hearing from everyone June the 1st, we should start seeing the messaging about the new fare in various formats via IVR, via the text number that they have, via the customer guide, which we'll discuss, and any other feasible place they can advertise this out to customers. Phone e blasts, possible email blasts. I think I covered
Correct.
everything.
Yes.
Did Ms. Rush, you had any other questions for Mr. Blake about this?
This is Ms. Rush. I'm clear on how they're going to communicate the changes, but I'm still back at the when you read that document about the budget, it does say 2 years. Should it have in parentheses for paratransit that it's going to be a year by year change?
No, I think what you're saying though, because even though that says 2 years, every year Metro Access, excuse me, not Metro Access, Metro, our staff goes through a budget process. Like this budget that they passed this year, there's still going to be budget, there's still going to be a budget that has to be passed for next for the following year. So this happens every year. And so again, I think what they're talking about is the financial commitment over 2 years from the local jurisdictional partners. But that still does not mean there will not be a budget for FY 26. And are there possible changes there? Perhaps during that budget process, is it possible for FY 26, once the Better Bus Network is in place, that the leadership or staff may recommend adjusting the service area or hours a little closer to the fixed route service now that we have a better bus network. We don't want to predict the future. I mean, but our budget, the Metro budget, is a year by year budget. So I don't want to make a promise for FY 26 on the service area or hours. And just one last thing I want to remind you, the service area, the service area being frozen as it is with the hours, that was actually done outside the budget process. That was a resolution that the leadership, the board, accepted a recommendation from Metro Access, i.e., myself, to say, let the bus and the rail do what they have to do. And this goes back before the pandemic, keep in mind, and it's been extended because of the pandemic, because we never had the opportunity. Remember, Mr. Chair, we were going to have the review of how did it impact ridership and did it create more demand on Metro Access. We never got to that because of the pandemic. So this extended service area that's way beyond the ADA and this extended service hours that are way beyond the ADA requirements really is not part of the budget process. So that decision is still one to be made. We'll make our recommendations about it in conjunction with the budget, but just keep in mind that decision was not based on budget. It was based on a recommendation to allow bus and rail to look at efficiencies while not impacting the lives of the paratransit customers at the time.
All right.
Okay, I just wanted to hear you say that. I wanted to make sure it's noted in the minutes so that people understand it, because if they're not following it step by step, they may miss a step. But you've already explained it.
Very
You're
clearly.
going to be questioned again, probably by other customers, but you stated the
Yes, ma'am.
situation.
I
All
have a
right,
feeling
thank
this recording is going to come back to bite me one day.
Well, no, you've said what you said, and but by the same token, there are people who might not be on this call, and they're reading what is in the budget. They're reading it, and it says 2 years. So
Yes.
now you've explained it, and when they call about it, you can say the meeting today in May says what it says. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Semaphore, Vanessa has raised her hand.
Okay, Vanessa, as it relates to this topic, you may go ahead with your questions of Mr. Blake. You can unmute yourself, Vanessa.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Thank you. This is Vanessa, African-American woman, middle age. My question, Mr. Blake, is early on during the time we're talking about budget, you mentioned going to a one contractor, possibly two, also introducing cabs. Is that for FY25, or is that something that's going to happen this July?
Yes. So two pieces to that. In terms of the contractors, that is for July. We have colleagues in our department, procurement, who are going through proposals as we speak to decide which company or companies, because it could be more than one, but it possibly could be one, will be operating the Metro Access vehicles. And which company, or well, it'd only be one company operating the or being in charge of the OCC, or what you all may refer to as the call center. So those decisions are being made not by me, but by our colleagues in procurement. And there were others who were part of evaluation teams, technical and costs. For the record, I wasn't on either of them, so I don't know really where we stand. I actually have no involvement in this, so that's probably a good thing. So I just asked the whole committee. I know you all used to be a lot more hands-on with the procurement process. We've kind of changed that a little bit over the years. But I know you're very interested in knowing who's going to be managing those vehicles, who's going to be managing the call center, or really running it. I wouldn't say manage it, but as soon as an announcement is made, as soon as our colleagues make their final decision, we'll certainly let you all know. Now, in terms of additional services we're bringing to you, and I think I don't want to belabor it too much because it's actually a topic towards the end of the agenda. We are bringing in some more service and giving customers a little more flexibility and opportunities. And one that just got started last week, and the very first trips were provided to Paul Semaphore, Denise Rush, Patrick Sheehan, and oh goodness, somebody's name. Who was there? Was one more person, and I think I just heard his voice on here.
Kawan.
Yes, Mr. Farmer. Yes. So those were the first four trips on a service called Userve, and Userve is bait for just for understanding of what we're talking about with this particular company. It's very much like Uber, unbranded vehicles owned by the drivers, run by a company through a transportation network company type of apparatus. But the big difference between Userve and Uber is that the Userve drivers provide door-to-door service. So I have photos of the drivers going to the door to escort Mr. Farmer. They were escorting Ms. Rush. Paul, I think I missed your trip. You left before I could get out there and get any pictures of you. And Patrick was already in the car when I got outside. But that's the difference between Userve and Uber. And technically, they were going to start on July 1st, but we wanted to get them started just to help us understand their service and help their operators understand our service. And I'll talk a little bit about, at the end of the meeting, some more service providers who are going to be brought on in the next few days and weeks ahead of July 1st.
Thank you. The last question I have to tell Dove with Vanessa's, Mr. Blake, is, will quality assurance remain with the same provider, or is that being kind of gone through procurement also?
That has gone through the procurement process. The quality assurance contract actually is a little different this year. They're going to be known as performance assessment support. Quality assurance is in the hands of Terry and Williams Hall. Okay, it's not quite that simple, but yeah, we brought quality assurance much more in-house. It's a transition where we make the decision if we're running a quality service. We're not going to farm that out with the contractor. Oh, okay. And you saw Dolan on earlier, so they did win the contract, but they're going to be known moving forward as performance assessment support. And if when you want to talk about quality assurance, that's our job. That's my job. That's Ms. Williams Hall's job. That's Allison Anderson's job. The whole team. You're paying us to make sure that the quality of Metro Access is where it needs to be and continues to get better and better. You're not paying us to give somebody else that job. And I think that's the philosophical approach. But the excellent work of MTM is going to continue, but they're going to be doing work to support our decision making as to the level and quality of the service and not be the final arbiters of the quality of our service.
All right, thank you. Any other customer comments to this topic here from the AAC members?
Chair Samford, we do not have any more hands up.
All right, then we can actually move on to the next topic, Ms. Anderson. So the next topic we have here is, I kind of inserted was, suggesting for updating the Metro Access Customer Guide. So to help more on my long list, I'm just looking at my email I sent to Ms. Anderson, and I kind of just read out some of the suggestions. That way I had it in front of me, making more efficient use of the time. So obviously the first thing is updating the new Metro Access fare. Customers will pay as of July 1st for the our online customer guide, which is updated as needed. I also am proposing that we have a new section in the customer guide about the ability for customers to text now with Where's My Ride in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. We're now entering a whole new field of another avenue where, you know, customers instead of on the phone, but if they're able to text, they can. So what I was suggesting and proposing is that, you know, listing the official number that customers are able to text, the hours of operation for the text feature to text staff, and I believe Mr. Blake said it's 24 hours. What types of requests that their customers will be able to request via text, like just explicitly list, customers will be able to, you know, status of a Metro Access trip, the ETA, request an Uber for a late trip, cancel a Metro Access trip, because I know we've been now running this, you know, by sort of word of mouth, but we want to get our customers to obviously encourage them to do it more. So, you know, we need to advertise this in the customer guide so they know this is an option. The other thing I suggest is talk about texting tips and etiquette. The other thing I'm going to hone in on is time expectations in terms of a customer getting a response for their text inquiry. Now, me who loves the text, and I've done it obviously to that number, most times the staff are pretty responsive, you know, within, you know, customers want to know if I, you know, about certain things, when will they get a text? Is it expectation 5 or 10 minutes? Or there are some cases in which I had to ask other people, well, it's been sitting there for half an hour or an hour and no one's responded. So I just want it to be clear to customers, you know, what are the expectations around that? Under what circumstances should be spelled out when the customer should call a customer, Where's My Ride to speak to an agent versus texting? Abilities ride. I know y'all have a section talking about that, and but given some of my, I guess, experiences, and I just want customers to be clear as, if they're going to have their trip moved to a third party provider, what are the expectations from abilities ride, at least from the providers, such like as Uber or taxis. User, that's a whole different story. But I know it's explained to them it's curb-to-curb service. So I'm thinking, just from my experiences, you may want to, spell it out. What does that mean? That means now when you come to the curb, sometimes it may be on that Uber app, you have to come to wherever that dot is, even though you can request the driver to try to pick you up closer to where you're physically at. But just some of the norms that when you deal with curb-to-curb service with taxis, I know customers want to be picked up on the same side of the street, but sometimes we don't see that with Uber or Lyft, and just making customers aware of those things so they know. Expectations about third-party providers, while Uber drivers are not going to assist you in it out, that you may want to, encourage you to take a PCA with you if you need certain levels of assistance or help with a seatbelt, things like that, which you got to put on. Sometimes these drivers may assist, but most may not. That's just me seeing for one who rides that, fairly frequently. Expectations on, customers who ride third-party providers, you're going to be provided with a link as to track your ride, and you need to be cognizant in, looking at that link, because your driver on a taxi or Uber, for instance, can change over time. You may see one driver, but that they get canceled for whatever variety of reasons, and another driver is coming to pick you up, and to be aware of that ETA, until you get picked up. Also, expectations to when a taxi or a cab or Uber in particular refuses to transport a customer, like Mr. Blake talks about the Uber experience, in terms of, if a driver cancels upon arrival or refuses to take you because of your destination, what a customer needs to do, who to call, that type of thing. So they can, respond to that in an efficient and effective manner. And that is about it. Ms. Anderson, did you have any clarifications or questions?
I don't have any questions. I think you were very clear
Yeah.
on your recommendations, so I appreciate that. But I'm going to defer to Mr. Blake
Only
because
because we
hello.
hear things
Love you
from
now and needed.
customers about their expectations for third-party providers, and we just want to be make sure we're very clear. Now, I understand that I know how to write it well, but I just want to make
Yes.
sure customers understand when they are, asked to do an Uber or a taxi. And again, I'm excluding certain ones like user, which is a little bit different door to door, but those two entities in particular.
And to your point, and they're, all your recommendations are captured. They'll be part of the minutes, and they'll be additions we'll make. I want you to know we have been thinking about this, but I think you're right to the point that if Metro Access is going to continue to celebrate and embrace and encourage alternatives and have this lottery, well, we need to do more education and just be very precise about the education for all customers as these services are brought on board into our network. So we take your recommendation seriously. We appreciate it. And they will definitely be incorporated into an expanded Metro Access customer guide. And oh, I was supposed to read that on. I was about to read the note on air. But no, we're very appreciative and respectful of the recommendation, and you'll see that no later than July the 1st, but we should be able to make these additions before then. In fact, we're going to be making the additions in any way because we want to
I'm
add
trying to get
more in.
adjusted to this stand.
Oh,
We're
anyone who
gonna
may.
make some adjustments. I mean, excuse me,
I
we're gonna.
just finished talking to my older son,
Who's that talking?
Dale,
Is
just
that
to
on
check
yours,
to
Mr.
see
Blake, or
how
someone
I'm doing.
else's?
He was
No,
asking
no.
us doing my exercises.
A new. So
Okay.
I'm gonna unmute myself. And
Yes,
so I
please.
was just gonna say, we're gonna be adding information about the new non-dedicated providers into the customer guide. So you'll see a much expanded chapter, if you will, about all the recommendations you've made just now and for the future. All right, and lastly, and you know what? I'll deal with this as a separate topic next month. More about the texting, because I do want to delve in that a little bit more in terms of will there be standards or in terms of response time?
We're working on that, and it's
I'm
an
just saying.
option. But one of the things where we're phone has been the hallmark of Metro Access communication. Phone will always be there. We're trying to just add other ways, and as we bring in other tools, I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves because we want to make sure everything works right. As we bring in other tools, we'll probably be able to set a standard on response time. Right now, I wouldn't want to
Well,
put
and I
that.
understand that this is definitely new. It's great to have this as an option, and I know y'all still working out the kinks between staff and customers and getting it to where it needs to be. And it's a work in progress, and I laud it because we now have more communication options than the phone, and for those customers who are able to use it.
Yeah, so we're working on it, and you'll see the standards evolve as our ability to control the communication on our end improves.
All right. Vanessa, I see your hand is up about this to ask Mr. Blake a
Alert.
question.
Audio now unmuted.
Yes, thank you. My question, Mr. Blake, I wondered if this would be a good place to put a tutorial for how to use the website to schedule your own trips because of the problems
Alert.
we've been having
Rebooted.
with the systems. Perhaps this would be a good place to teach the consumer how to put in their own trips in this guide.
Oh, for the online booking. Oh, Miss Anderson. I think we talked about that.
We actually do have a tutorial on our website for customers to be able to access that. But Mr. Blake, I would again defer to you on that recommendation.
Oh no, I mean for the customer guide, I certainly
Alert.
support that. I thought we had it in the customer guide, at least some brief points, but if it's not detailed enough, more details on web booking certainly is a great recommendation. We're going to do it, no doubt.
Yes, we do have some just general cursory details on how to do web booking, but as Mr. Blake stated, if we need to go deeper, we do have tutorial information that we can pull from to do that.
I almost want to say, okay, I'll say it publicly. If you want someone or maybe one of us AAC members to do a demonstration video, okay, me, one who basically exclusively uses it intuitively, I probably can help provide offer that assistance. If y'all think of a way y'all want me or somebody else who's savvy with this and uses it almost exclusively, to help with a tutorial video for customers. Go ahead, Miss Williams Hall. I know she's got a response.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is Tarian Williams Hall, African American female, long hair with blonde highlights, and I am middle age. Okay, so di directly responding to your suggestion, Mr. Semaphore, we do want to take you up on that offer as we briefly discussed earlier last week. So look for some additional feedback and guidance on that once we are clear about the best way to utilize that service with our customers.
Because those who could do it like me is great because that's one less person on the phone. If you're able to do it and do it fluently and well,
Yeah.
at the level of independence where I don't have to wait or I can get it done before 4:30. It's a couple of clicks, it's done. Okay, everyone's at their different speed, and it may not be as fluently as me, but I just want to, make sure people are educated on an opportunity if they're able and feel comfortable with it. That level of independence will allow them to where you're not tied to having to be on the phone for a length of period of time to reach somebody if you choose to have that, level of choice and independence.
No, we totally agree, and we are Absolutely appreciative of your offer for providing that guidance, and we will be checking in with you. Mr. Blake, if you could, on a separate note, please look at some of the text and things that I just recently sent you. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, any other AAC members for this topic here?
This is a new chair semaphore. At this point, we have no additional hands up.
Okay. At this rate, we're moving anew. When we have customer comment, I'm going, after we have members of the public, I'm going to put Tawan Farmer because he does want to speak to something about eligibility. And okay. I just want to make sure eligibility staff is there to respond because we had a conversation on. I don't want to miss that. And of course, that's after all other public customers that are not AAC members have spoken first. Sounds I just want to make sure that goes out there. So next, Mr. Blake, you are up for the last topic.
Okay, so we're talking about non-dedicated service.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just remind folks, this is not new. So this is nothing I'm trying to take credit for, but I also say that to help ease our transition. If you recall in the days, will we say BC, before Chris Blake ever came into your lives and started talking about what's some of your favorite of fixed ride equivalent service? I know one of my favorite customers said, I've been riding this thing for 25 years. I never heard of this stuff. What are you talking about? But you used to book trips on Metro Access, and every once in a while, some of you may have received a taxi, especially if you were in Virginia or I think Montgomery County, we had a lot of taxi services. Those taxi drivers provided you with door-to-door service. If your trip was late on those, you received a trip credit. Everything was like Metro Access, except you were in a taxi cab. Does anyone remember that? Let me just make
sure. Oh, yes. I remember those days.
Remember those days. Okay. So just want to make sure we're on the same page there. So those are essentially Metro. Those were Metro Access trips. Not a sin. They were Metro Access trips. They were called non-dedicated service. When we brought in Abilities Ride and so many folks were happy to use taxis and Ubers kind of more flexible, we stopped using taxis for non-dedicated service because there was just not enough trips overall. You had great service with the contractors driving the Metro Access vehicles, and then you had some taxis and Ubers providing a handful of trips as well. Well, now we're going to bring back the non-dedicated service. There are going to be several different companies providing them. I would love to have given you the names tonight, but again, our colleagues in procurement are being very deliberate and delicate and making sure everything is right. And so as soon as we can make the announcement of the individual companies, we will. I can tell you from what I have been told is that Userve will be one of those as well. On our non-dedicated, at least to start, all of those vehicles are going to be wheelchair accessible vehicles. All of them. That doesn't mean all the trips will be wheelchair or mobility using customers, but every vehicle will be a wheelchair accessible vehicle. These will be Metro Access trips. You're going to get door-to-door service and you're going to pay the fare on those trips. If the trip is late, you'll get a trip credit and everything just like a Metro Access trip, except the color and the emblem on the side of the vehicle. So we're bringing back something that many of you have experienced in the past. If you've been on Metro Access for more than 6 years,
mm-hmm.
you've almost certainly you've been in a taxi at one time or another on Metro Access. And so that's what we're bringing back, but we're bringing it back a little different. Taxis in the past were used for a lot of long trips and things like that. What we're going to do is keep the taxi, excuse me, these won't be taxis necessarily. Some may not, but we're going to keep them in the zones. These are going to be more zone trips, probably 10 miles or less. And they are, again, regular Metro Access trips. But what we're looking at learning from this process is what did customers like about Abilities Ride? And how can we bring some of that into the regular Metro Access trip experience? And so we're going to be doing that. And then depending on the success Of the non-dedicated, as I've mentioned in the past, there's no timeline. I'm not making any immediate promises, but we believe that with these additional resources, the Metro Access resources plus abilities ride, we're on the verge. We're close to one day offering you same day ADA paratransit service, which is my ultimate goal, and it's a goal shared by our GM, our COO, and really the industry has been trying to find ways to make this happen. You may hear in other places they talk a lot about microtransit, which is something I like. Don't get me wrong, I like microtransit, but microtransit is a poor substitution for ADA paratransit service. And so we don't want to substitute. We want the real thing. And so this is a method of bringing some of the abilities rise success to Metro Access trips while also preparing us for a brighter future with the possibility of same day service. I can answer any questions on that.
Oh, so my other question, when I stuck abilities ride to that agenda, any updates? I know we talked about Lyft was offered a contract and y'all just waiting on Lyft to sign, because we would love to see another provider that's 24/7 like Uber as an option to help make sure that wonderful on-time performance stays at 90% and better, especially when in light of late trips. And I do laud what y'all doing these days and aggressively as appropriate assign, you know, and ahead of time, you know, trips to maybe taxis or Uber on that day of service, knowing that there might be traffic, there might be issues with weather or with other operational reasons, to help maintain that, and doing it more aggressively, as I saw in that Metro budget presentation recommendation for abilities ride.
Right. And Mr. Chair, you all know I'm a straight talker. I don't try to.
And of course, that's based on the lottery, if you're lucky.
Well, right on that part. But I could just tell you, I mean, anything is possible, but it looks like it's going to be unlikely that Lyft is going to join us, at least in this fiscal year. Okay. I mean, anything is possible. There are a lot of people way above my pay grade, like Terrian and others, who may have some power in this. At this point, unfortunately, I'm disappointed as well. It doesn't look like they're going to be a part of our expanding network of service alternatives.
So what I would like to ask, if there's a way, and I know for safety reasons why, particularly with Uber, like if a trip, as you know, you send a link to the person, someone like me activates it, and it doesn't find a vehicle, and you know, you have to contact with Mata to restart the Uber again or text them. And of course, that sometimes may take a process. Is there a way, and I understand for safety reasons why you want a human being or send a text to restart it, is there any way we can get a second or third chance for someone like me who's willing to wait for that Uber after a couple cycles and has been, you know, very fortunate it picks me up eventually, or to speak to a supervisor, you know, but to do that and have that option open for something like that. Is there any opportunity or possibility for doing that? That way it helps save time.
Yeah, so let me make sure I understand what you're saying.
So like, for instance, I use an Uber link. It finds, mm-hmm. it doesn't find, you know, it several drivers cancel, blah, blah, blah. And then it says contact with Mata for assistance, which means I have to text them mainly, or call the agent that seems to be faster at, depending on the time of day or night, to restart the trip.
So, yeah. So one thing we've talked to Uber about, because I've said, I think I probably used you as an example. I said, if you can't find so let me just back up and give you the reason why this is happening. So as you all will see, the lottery is going to come out in a little bit. For those of you who are in the net, you know, in that part of the program. So Uber gives us a price the night before, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. What happens is, let's say tomorrow there's huge traffic on the beltway, there's a parade downtown, all kind of things that can happen, that if you were to click on your Uber app tomorrow, that same price you would get tomorrow based on all this extra traffic and everything is probably going to be a lot higher than what Uber has said would be the cost tonight. And so the drivers know the rates that they're getting. So that's why we have this kind of experience. And then they say they give up after a couple of times. I've suggested that, I told them, Paul Semaphore, even if he calls us, we're going to put his trip back on, probably no matter what the surge
Yeah,
rate
I'm willing to wait
is.
for how many times because I've done it before. Don't
We're
put me
going to
back
put
on
you
a
on.
vehicle because I want to save the vehicle for someone else,
Right.
especially
So
at night.
why not just do that? And companies give you all kind of excuses and reasons. So instead of trying to change how Uber acts, what we're doing, again, as I've pointed out, we don't want to jump ahead of ourselves, but as we create more ways for customers in that text messaging tool to engage with our customers, what you will find is, yes, you may still have to make that text message. You could always call if you want, but when that text message is sent, it's going to be our desire that it will be responded to almost instantaneously, and the device that's responding to it will also be able to rebook your trip automatically. It'll know who you are. You'll have to give them some information, but most likely it should be able to rebook your trip much faster than the experience you're. Picture me. And how, when you write me or call me, I can rebook your trip pretty quickly. I think this tool will be able to rebook your trip even faster.
Okay. I just want to see if that will be, a possibility because obviously it becomes time consuming, especially when it's high peak call time or, for people, who manage that Metro Access text number and doing it. Because again, awful loads of calls during peak times. And if we had the ability, okay, it cancels out once, be able to rebook it again, that would save a whole norm of time to getting that customer moving, not just me.
Yes,
Again.
I wanted Uber to do it automatically. They have some reasons why they can't. So now we're trying to say, instead of focusing on them, let's focus on what we can do to replicate that. And while it still will require an extra step by the customer, that step should be responded to very quickly.
Because what I hear from the call center staff in high volume times, it may take, in their script five, maybe 7 to 8 minutes or 10 minutes until you get that text, that type of thing, just to redo it again. So I just want to see if there's opportunities technology wise where we can do that. That's all
Yeah,
in the
no,
future.
we're with you 100%. The call center team, they have really embraced this SMS technology, and we're really appreciative of them. And the team members are working really hard. And while we can plan for some periods of high in volume of incoming text messages, again, something could just go wrong that's totally beyond the control of Metro Access or WMATA or any of us, and create a high volume that then they just have to respond to. But as you said, it could take 5, 6, 7 minutes. And we all know if you're at a Walmart or at a bus stop and you're waiting 5 or 7 minutes for another link, it can feel like eternity. And so we're just trying to do our best to help the team overall respond to all of our customers in a much quicker way.
Now, Janice, just to let you know, we are only taking AAC members. We'll take your comments at the customer comment period, and I'm sure New has noted it. I see your hand, Vanessa, but I'm going with Philippa because we have not heard from Philippa
Hi everyone. I
first.
just had a question regarding the Metro Access Ubers. The past several days, I've noticed something strange going on. It's like if I booked a trip and they've sent him on a route that was really weird, and it took about extra 20 minutes to get there, instead of just doing the fastest route, which would have been straight out New York Avenue to Highway 50 to 202. They took him through downtown DC and around Pennsylvania and on the Baltimore Washington Parkway and on 95 and 290. I mean, it was just really weird. And the other thing was I'd booked a trip to 650 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast, but it was booked with a double address, which was 650 C Street Southeast, which was several blocks away from my destination. So getting there, I could guide the driver, but trying to get picked up became a debacle because they had the Uber drivers kept going to 650C because the system kept generating that. So I was just wondering what might be going on.
Now I can, oh, I'm gonna let you answer because I said I'm the one who uses Uber a lot. Sometimes the address Uber gets where you think it should be picking up, sometimes it may hiccup a little bit closer or differently or further away from that address, as I found. But I will defer that the rest to Mr. Blake.
Right. Well, it had the correct address in there, and then it had a second address under the correct address. But for some reason, their system, it said 650 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast, and right under it, it said 650 C Street Southeast. And so my return Uber kept going there to that address, and I'm several blocks away, so I couldn't, direct them. And it took them about three or four times before they could get one to my proper address.
Okay. So what I will do is I'll take a look at your trips, because the first example you gave, when you say they sent him on, and I know you're speaking of Uber, that
system
may be the case, or that may be a driver trying to milk the trip for a little more than what the trip was actually paying. So I will check out the routing on that trip.
Okay.
Because
the first one was that trip was going to Upper Marlboro, just so you'll know which one. Okay, go ahead. I
got you. I'm gonna probably look at a lot of them and then check this address. But just so you know, and I want everybody to just be aware, at the end of the month, a member of my team actually does a review of hundreds of Uber trips, checking to make sure folks aren't playing games with our service or this program, if you will, and therefore creating potential problems in the future. And we report any and all questionable trips we identify to Uber and request full or partial refunds depending on the actual nature of the trip. So what you've done is given us a few more to take a look at for this month going into next month. Now the second one, and then again, though, on the other hand, what we also know to take it away from somebody trying to milk a trip for more than it was really worth is that computers, and that's why we all love, well, I will speak for everybody, but that's why I and others really love real-time traffic, because unlike in the good old days when me, my mother, and stepfather would take our trip up the Florida Turnpike and I-95 from Miami to Charleston, we were using a paper and a flipboard, but didn't know what was happening on the road. Now with satellite and cellular technology, where we believe the straight trip is right down the street, the system perhaps knows in a lot of cases that something is there. And if you went down the street, it's going to take you forever than if you just took a couple of out of the way loops that seem much longer, but actually was saving you some time. So I'm not going to necessarily say it was some kind of game that the driver was playing. It could have been, but there's also many, many more occasions where the system is actually identifying the most optimal route, even if it's not totally conventional on the surface.
Okay.
Now the other issue.
I'm going to have to look at. We have had some challenges, and this periodically happens. In fact, that's how we got to the text messages. When the Uber trips were not populating and Uber had to fix their system, what we wanted to do is send customers a text message to make them aware of that. And that's how we started with this whole text message apparatus, and it's now has grown. So I will take a look at some of your trips, see if I can find the double booking. And what I'll do whenever we find a trip that's booked, either not fully having the address or this double address or anything else that's strange, I send a screenshot to Uber. They go into their system and try to figure out what went wrong. and then try to fix that error for everybody.
Okay. Now, what I've seen, Mr. Blake, with, particularly with Uber, is sometimes like on a trip, it wants to seize the fastest way to get to a place, maybe like on a toll road, like 267 or 66 during certain hours. And of course, the driver doesn't want to do that. So of course, they want to take the road the longer way, where they're like, I don't want to be, you know, I'm hit with this bill, and I'm just going to take the road, even though it's going to be a lot longer. Where Uber may have suggested a different way on the app to get there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can believe that has happened as well. Yeah. And I see a note here in the text from Amanda Hillman. The 650 C Street address is the garage, the back, whereas the 650 Pennsylvania, it's the back entrance to 650 Pennsylvania.
All right. So
that could create some issues as well, but we'll take a look at all.
Okay. But I have gone to that address before, and that was never an issue.
Yes,
ma'am. So, okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, Vanessa, I still see your hand, but you've spoken so much. Can I take Denise first and then you? Okay, so it'll be Denise and then Vanessa.
This is Ms. Rush. It's great to have several options, non-dedicated, dedicated, Ubers, different options to get a paratransit trip made, but a lot of people still don't understand what you already had on the plate. Now you put some more on the plate, people are going to get really confused. You're going to have to go over this and over and over and over, because there are people who really don't understand how they have to get an Uber. And then you're going to have non-dedicated service that takes you to the door and sees you get back and forth from the car. And then there's some that don't have to pay for Uber. And then they're going to be talking to another passenger. Well, why I have to pay and you didn't pay? It's going to be confusing.
You're not going to get a disagreement from me, Ms. Rush, and that's why even before the chairman was talking about the updates to the customer guide, we had been thinking about it and talking about it, because I agree with you, and it's really going to be, I think one part that's really going to be confusing is that you'll get a trip on a taxi one day that you don't pay because that's abilities ride, but then you get a trip on a non-branded vehicle that you do pay because that was non-dedicated, which was a Metro Access trip.
Amen.
We're going to work through this. I believe our customers, I first want to bring them the satisfaction in their service. And I want everybody to be satisfied with their service and their trips. And as their satisfaction is really addressed, I am going to spend a lot of time discussing the differences and why not. And my phone number is published. I'm going to be happy to speak with all the customers as much as I can, but the entire team is going to be ready to support this effort. And but yeah, you're not going to get any disagreement from me. This is going to be even more challenge than even the as I like to talk about, fixed route equivalent shared ride service one. So We're going to get on it. We're on it already. That's one reason we're starting their services as soon as they get in, and not waiting to July 1st to do them all at one time.
All right. I see. I'm going to go with Vanessa and then Sandy.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. Thank you. Vanessa, for your patience. I know you spoke before, and I want to get some other people in. That's why I asked.
It's quite all right. I just have lots of questions. So, Mr. Blake, that non-dedicated line that you have, I think is great, because I do have a couple of consumers that are wheelchair bound that are very frustrated as far as, you know, not having the option to do the Uber. So I would love to pass that information on, but I wanted to make sure that I'm passing on the correct information, because one, for example, who would love to have that service going to work on a regular basis, but they live outside of that 10-mile radius. So after the 10 miles, is there an option? Because are you saying that that's free? But is there an option to pay the difference? Because to get that dedicated trip, they would love to probably have that, especially using the wheelchair.
Right. So this is why, and this goes right to the point Ms. Rush was just making. So non-dedicated is not going to be free.
Well, what did you say was free? I heard you say something was free.
All right, so I'm going to let you explain, Mr. Blake.
Yes, Ability's ride is still free. And that's the lot.
Does it have the wheelchair, though?
They do, and they're not a whole lot with them, but there are taxis. Every day we're doing close to 100 wheelchair trips through Abilities Ride, plus the call center during the day adds more trips of wheelchair customers to Abilities Ride. So, yes, it's there, no doubt about it. But, again, it's the lottery, and that's why that part right now is a discounted fare.
How would the consumer that I know get in that lottery to try to get a wheelchair Uber? Because she would love that.
Every Metro Access customer, theoretically, is in the lottery. But there's no way to necessarily, I hate to say it this way, rig the lottery. I mean, I could force a customer on. You call me after the meeting or send me a note. I could probably force them onto a trip, but again, we can't do that every day for one particular customer.
So Vanessa, I will say this, because I have a colleague here at work who uses Metro Access, and you know, they asked her, and she has a big wheelchair, motorized device, to try, you know, Uber. And what I would caution and say is they put her on Uber, and of course we're in Prince George's County, unlike some other jurisdictions where they already knew kind of ahead of time the availability was probably not going to be there, but to give it a try. And it turned out to be, unfortunately, a disaster, because they had to put a back on Metro Access because she needs a van with a lift, and she has a, you know, big mobility device that only the vehicle can accommodate. And as I knew, it might be challenging to get an Uber to pick her up that has wheelchair accessible capability in Prince George's County. And this is like a time of, you know, rush hour. So I would just, that's definitely a, go ahead, advocate for that, but we just want to make sure that, you know what I mean?
Well, Mr. Blake, then how would they utilize it? So if they had to pay the Metro Access, so it would only be 10 miles, you're saying, even if they have to pay the Metro Access fee, it would only be within a 10-mile radius?
That's our initial planning, yes. We're going to, the non-dedicated is going to look a lot like shuttle service, meaning they're running within a small circle, and then the longer trips, the 12, 15, 20, 30-mile trips will be more on our regular Metro Access vehicles.
Okay. Yeah, because I Googled, and she's 18 miles out, so.
Now, these new non-dedicated providers, Mr. Blake, will they service for those short trips, will they service the whole region or D.C. or just a certain region only to start with and then expand?
No, great question. No, we're going
to like with User, we saw they all did it from D.C. Will they be able to originate like out of, for instance, you know, advocating another option for Prince George's County, because other counties have, you know, well, there's the other option of Uber, but the other counties have options of, you know, taxis. Oh, we do Silver Cab, but that, you know, is limited. But because as you know, Prince George's is the biggest segment of customers of our Metro Access population that's served.
Right. So the non-dedicated is going to be throughout the service area. And we've identified what we call, is it six or eight? Let me just make sure here. We have a total of six zones. The zones are trips that are beginning in DC and ending in DC, trips that are beginning in DC but go outside of DC, i.e., to Prince George's, Montgomery, or Virginia. We have another zone in Prince George's County that's going to cover Bowie, Greenbelt, Hyattsville, Lanham, and Laurel. We have a zone in Prince George's that's going to cover Capitol Heights, Clinton, District Heights, Fort Washington, Oxon Hill, Suitland, Temple Hills, and Upper Marlboro. We have a zone in Montgomery County that will cover Bethesda, Burtonsville, Gaithersburg, Germantown, Rockville, and Silver Spring. And we have a zone in Virginia that will cover Alexandria, Arlington, and Fairfax. Those are the zones we're going to begin the non-dedicated with.
Okay.
That's very promising. We're going to be all over the service area. The only part of the service area we're not starting absolutely for certain right now is Loudoun County, but we expect to add something up there as well. But remember, the Loudoun County service is so limited, it's just 3/4 of a mile around the Metro Rail station. So at the moment, we didn't feel that there was enough demand to justify solicitation just for that limited number of demand.
Well, beyond the vehicles, you got Uber.
That's true too, yes.
All right, Anu?
Sandy had raised her hand.
Oh, Sandy, go ahead.
Well, it turns out it was my mistake. The example I was going to give of an Uber driver offering me a 3-minute longer trip if we avoided the Reston Toll Road, the Dulles Toll Road toll. That was on a straight up Uber ride. It was not a Metro Access Abilities ride. I apologize. I was going to give you an example.
But I like that example. I don't mind avoiding tolls.
All right. Anu, is there any other AAC members? And then we can go to public comments.
Chair Samford, we do not have any additional hands up at this point.
All right. We can start. Thank you, Mr. Blake. I'm sure there will be more updates on this as we get more providers. I'm saddened about Lyft, but we will work with what we have with Uber. You know, I'm very diligent, and I'm sure other customers. Well, okay, I'm very diligent, and we're waiting again and again till we get one, because they are 24/7, like our vehicles too. Anu, without further ado, we will start a public comment period with the customers and the public first before AAC members.
Yes.
And hopefully, you got Tuan down because he has one thing he wants to bring up.
Okay, so we have two members of the public at this point, Janice Samuel, followed by Amanda Hillman.
Janice, you may unmute yourself to speak for 2 minutes.
Thank you. I have longer I waited. I had more things I wanted to bring up. I wanted to piggyback off of Philippa. I have had rides that go from Bowie into the district, specifically 901 G Street Northwest. It took me on Landover Road, Central Avenue, 295, 395, New York Avenue. It was like it was all around town before it got to my destination, which any one of those roads could take you straight into that location. And also, I've had Uber rides, and these are all Uber rides where they've been given an address and maybe the building is on a corner. So they don't go to the entrance that I've discussed with the agent. So I think they're looking at like a pin dot on the map. So they know that's the building, and then they drop you off. And if you're vision impaired, you know, I can't get in, I can't access the building from that side. And I've also had that recently when I went to 345 Maryland Avenue, which is at a junction where Maryland and Independence come together, and the Uber driver was across the street, which is four lanes of traffic across the street. And he's like, I'm here. No, the pin dot might on the map might indicate that you're here, but you're not. You're not on this side of the street. The other thing I wanted to say that intermittently I have experienced is when I take an Uber to a destination and I'm there And when I go to hit my return link, the return link just says the city and state. So I don't know if Uber knows the exact address, but I can't see that they have the exact address. And so once I hit the link, I said, well, let's just see if, you know, they know where to come. And on this particular ride, I was in Largo or Kettering, and it said Upper Marlboro, and they kept going to the Upper Marlboro courthouse. And then I would call, where's my ride, ask them to, you know, send me an Uber to the address that I had originally booked. And again, it would come up Upper Marlboro. And so I had to go through this cycle until they finally put the exact address in so I could return to my residence. And the fourth thing that I wanted to confirm with Mr. Blake is, so when the Uber rides are confirmed the night before, you said, you know, the prices are set. So the Uber drivers know those prices, and things may happen the day of the reservation that change the price of the ride. Is that what you're saying?
So, Janice, I do want to empathize with you before Mr. Blake also comments on your other questions. It's happened to me, and it's unfortunate. Well, it's the experience of Uber. You put in the exact address you want to be picked up, but Uber is very insistent about picking up at major intersections in a lot of places and not exactly in front of your door. And the drivers, they're going where that dot is at. And some of them are very insistent, or they'll just cancel the trip right in front of you if you don't come to them.
They will.
But that is part of the Uber experience. That's why I want that to be put out there for those to be aware what to expect if they're, you know, they get a Billy's ride trip for Uber, you know, those things. Now, you do some things you do have control over is information that you put in with the agent that does transfer over to Uber, because I've seen it in my Uber app, like if because I do my trips online. So the information I put in is to be here, there, or the specifics. That does get to the driver, and some of the drivers do follow that. And also you do have the ability to text the driver during that trip to say, hey, I'm here at this location for this at this specific place, or call
right.
them.
It's just unusual that sometimes, you know, sometimes the date comes up.
It's just insistent. I'm gonna let Mr. Blake address that, but it's just sometimes Uber is insistent. You pick up at that dot in the road, even if it's not there, and it's not exactly where you're at, but I'm gonna let Mr. Blake answer the rest of your questions.
And I do understand it is ability, so you have to have a certain level of ability. It hasn't stopped me from using it.
Oh yeah,
because I can, you know,
I
can
some
go
of my
with
experiences
the flow.
I have to struggle with too, using
yeah
it and getting around it. But Mr. Blake, you can answer the rest of the questions.
Those are great questions. Number one, the challenge of the no address. So that, again, that's how we started with this whole SMS and text messaging. That's a issue. We, Metro Access, sends Uber the full address. There's no doubt. There's some sort of communication challenge that pops up periodically in which your trip is then only showing your city and state.
Mm-hmm.
And I find out about these, I send screenshots to Uber so they could try to figure out why did that occur, what happened, and it goes away for a bit, then it comes back again. You should not click on a link that doesn't have the complete address.
Okay, that's
good
to know.
You don't want to do that. You want to go ahead and text or call Metro Access and ask to have the trip rebooked with the proper address.
Okay.
And we always want to verify with the driver before even sitting down in the vehicle, what address do you have to take me to? Because once they leave, they're going to take you to the address they have and try to leave you there. And we don't want
that. Right.
So you verify your address that they're taking you to before you sit down in the vehicle. And if it's not the right address, don't worry about it. Politely close the door and contact Metro Access to have the trip rebooked to the correct address. And then again, on the trips in terms of, what do you say, $495, $50, $395, again, there could be some games played. I'll take a look at your trips, but often, and I would say more often than not, and if you don't, and for customers who don't have audio disabilities, you often can hear the directions that the map is giving to the operator, to the driver.
Many times they have it on silent. Yeah,
I got you. Yeah, sometimes they do, but sometimes you can hear it. And for those customers who don't have visual disabilities, you can take a look. And those are the ones that really we can question. Uber has a way, even if a trip looks circuitous, they have a way of explaining or justifying in some cases why the trip was circuitous. But again, we've also secured or received refunds of a lot of money of drivers we've captured, because oftentimes it's the same driver who's doing it, and then we just investigate his or her trips for that whole month. So I think
so. Even though I'm not paying for it, I should let you know, because Metro could receive their money back from Uber.
That is correct. That is correct. So, yes, we appreciate that. But also, just also keep in mind, as Paul, as Mr. Chairman has mentioned a few times today, there are some aspects of the Uber experience that we don't have control over, and we have not attempted to have control over, because then that changes our regulatory relationship with the company, and we don't necessarily want to do that.
Understood.
Okay. Amanda, you're next. And then Anu would tell me who else is after.
And Hillman, followed by Priscilla Prince.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. I guess I'm kind of confused about the non-dedicated service. I think you all have tried to explain it a couple of times, but I'm not really clear. And you mentioned that there are zones, and that there's a 10 mile, I guess, limit or whatever. So where's the 10 miles from and to? Is it from your residence to where you're going, or from where you're coming from to your residence? Is that what you're saying?
Those and are excellent questions, which Mr. Blake's going to answer.
Saying that go ahead. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Right. Keep going with what you have to say. You're posing excellent questions.
So what I'm saying is, so then are you saying, I guess I wasn't clear, were you saying that within that 10 miles, there's no charge, and that, or that there is a charge, but you're also saying that outside of the 10 miles, at this point in time, you won't be able to go beyond that.
Okay, yeah. So let me clarify.
Those are excellent questions. Mr. Blake is happy to explain.
Yeah, Abilities Ride program that people are familiar with, both taxi trips, Uber, and wave trips in taxis or Uber. Abilities Ride is a lottery. It's like your pick four every day, or pick three, where you can win a couple of bucks, but you're not going to become a millionaire. Those trips are free of charge for now, but the key is that they're a discount to the Metro Access fare. And as Paul was mentioning, they don't provide, generally speaking, door-to-door service. They provide curb-to-curb, although confusing a bit, we're adding a company that will provide door-to-door service. Those are free. They don't have any mileage limits. Metro Access decides each day how we're going to adjust the lottery to randomly select people. Tomorrow, trips on Abilities Ride could be up to 20 miles. Today, they were only up to 18 miles. Tomorrow, trips for Abilities Ride for some companies can start at 6 a.m. and go to 11. The day after tomorrow, we may only start from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's a random selection in the areas where we pick up. It's all random, just like a lottery. And if your trip is selected, you win $4 for that trip, because you don't pay the $4 fare on Metro Access. So that's Abilities Ride.
And that's how it's been running
The last 5 years. Yes, last 6 years or so. Yes.
Okay.
That's going to continue. That's going to stay. But now we're reintroducing non-dedicated service to the Metro Access service. And non-dedicated are regular Metro Access trips. So you're going to pay your $4, or when we get to the new year, your $4.50, whether you're on the non-dedicated service that will be in other branded vehicles, or if you're getting in a Metro Access vehicle. The 10-mile piece is that what we're trying to do is look at how have we made customers happy with Abilities Ride, and how can we bring some of that into Metro Access, even though Metro Access is a shared ride, fixed ride equivalent public transit service. Well, one thing we can do is keep the trips on those things short. You keep the trips on those non-dedicated relatively short. That means that they have a better opportunity of being on time, which makes everybody happy. They have less likely to share a ride, which makes everybody happy. So by keeping those trips short, we're trying to give the Metro Access customers some of that Abilities Ride experience, even though they're taking a paratransit public transportation trip. The 10 miles is when you go and book your trip inside of our system, the system tells us how long the trip is. Your trip today could be 5 miles. Trip tomorrow could be 15 miles. On a normal day-to-day service day, we're going to try to only have 10 miles or less, and that's your pickup to your destination, 10 miles or less trips that will be on the non-dedicated. In an emergency or in a period of extreme demand, I'm trying to just think of a day, just presidential inauguration day, let's say. Ooh. There's just a lot of demand out there, or the protest the day after, whatever the case may be. If we need to give those services a little more longer trips, yeah, we have the flexibility to do that. But on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be mostly short trips that are on non-dedicated for the reasons I outlined, a few seconds ago.
All right, thank you. Anu, who's next?
Oh, wait a minute. I have one more thing. I'm sorry. Real quick. For Ms. Philippa with the Pennsylvania Avenue, yeah, because like she said, that's something really recent. It just so happens that the Uber driver that I had understood that the C Street address was the garage for parking. So she was able to bring me around to the front door to, the right address. So I don't know why. Well, maybe because most people that are using, I guess, the GPS are going to that address to park in a parking lot. So I don't know if that's why they're going around to the C Street in the back, as opposed to the Pennsylvania Avenue part in the front. So I don't know if that helps in terms of Mr. Blake, you trying to investigate to figure out why that's happening or not. But like she said, that's new because I've been going to that address for years, and recently it seems to be different. So
I've seen Uber act very weird for an address. You think, okay, the number is there, the building is there on the street, but it wants to come and behind the building in an alleyway and yes, makes the Uber do that. It's very weird like that sometimes on some trips and some addresses. And you just kind of have to know those places and plan accordingly and have those instructions ready like you always do. All right, next, Anu. Thank you.
Next would be Priscilla Prince. And unless we get any other members of the public, we will go to AAC members after Ms. Prince.
Okay, go ahead, Priscilla. You're on.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for all you do. I do appreciate Metro Access. This has given me the ability to get around. What I do want to share is the 650 address, to the garage, the garage where you go to the bus rides. In the back of that, there is no designated drop off. So you're dropped off on an unsafe place on I think it's H Street. with all the bus hubs around. So me, for me to go through that front entrance is a challenge for me, right? Because I'm not going to Amtrak. I'm going to the bus station. Why was that taken away? Why was the designated drop off like removed? Or how can we get it back? Because let me see, a couple of months ago, I was able to go into where the bus hub is at and get dropped off with Metro Access. Now it's blocked off to everybody. So now we're dropped off on like on the side of a street and it's very unsafe.
Now, is this with a Metro Access vehicle or with Uber?
It's with the Metro Access vehicle.
Oh,
They
okay. I'll go
have no
let them have. I'll go some.
access.
Okay.
They
Okay. I'm
have
going to let
no
them have it.
access at all because
All
of
right.
this new KISS program. So I did try to reach out to the Union Station parking garage. I reached out to the Union Station whole building thingy and also to Metro Access as well. I have gotten no responses to that.
Okay, I'm going to let staff answer that question.
Yeah,
Who wants to
we
take a
can
stab
look
at it?
into it, but now just as you mentioned, Union Station, Metro doesn't have much control over private property. We can certainly reach out and ask. And I don't know if this is the cause. I know there is some renovation and some work taking place at Union Station. Not sure that this is why they have removed a designated drop-off location. We can find out. But yes, once it becomes a matter of private property, Metro is at the discretion of that private property owner.
I have another question for that one too, though. So should I contact ADA about that? Because it is a private property, but it's also public for public use as well. And everyone that that is ADA, a person that falls into that category should have access, even if it's a private property that's providing services to the public.
We'll not discourage you from that. No, I mean we won't discourage you from reaching out and advocating that they return the designated location.
Thank you. Next, Anu, who do you have now that's from the AAC that wants to speak? Now we don't have any members of the public.
So at this point, we have no additional members of the public who wish to speak. We are going to the AAC members, beginning with Tuan Farmer, followed by Rico Dancy, Philippa Mazzell, and Denise Rush.
All right, Tawan, you're on.
Thank you, Paul. We have the topic that we discussed, and I have a brief Metro Access issue. So, Mr. Blake, last Thursday in the early morning, my first random trip of the day was from the Suitland area to the Bowie area. I was provided a Metro Access vehicle. It came right at the beginning of the window. I came out, and in preparation for getting on the vehicle, it was noted that the trip was going to go from, and this is at about 6 in the morning, was going to go from Suitland during rush hour to Arlington for a pickup, which was followed by a drop off in Silver Spring. And then finally to Bowie. I acknowledge that Metro Access is a shared ride service. I just found that particular trip a bit cumbersome in its design. And I just want to make a statement on that. I don't know if there's much to be done. It can be looked into, but that's just a concern. I'm going to move to the second matter, and then this is an eligibility. So I can pause if there's any comment on that, and then I can address the eligibility issue.
Well, yes, and that's a trip we'll take a look at. I know that the fixed ride equivalent time is a big piece of our measure in terms of the onboard time that we have with the customer. We don't want circuitous routing. It does sound a little cumbersome, but if we're talking very early in the morning when there is less traffic than we would experience during the mid and peak day of the DC region, I could possibly understand how the system came up with such a route, but I've got to see if that really was a system or was that a result of a manual placement of a trip due to resource allocation challenges. I can't answer that right now without knowing. That trip was not what we would want. That's certainly not what we would draw up on paper if we're doing a game plan. But I think at the end of the day, I would rely on making sure, number one, safety, but number two, on time, and number three, that we didn't keep you on board the vehicle longer than it would have taken a person using bus or rail to travel the same pickup to drop off.
Thank you. I'll look forward to your follow-up on that one. So I have recently come up to my eligibility renewal period with Metro Access. A few weeks ago, I called one afternoon, around the 4 o'clock hour, to book a ride, and I was informed that I was inactive at that time. I contacted eligibility the next day to discover that my account at that time had been, I guess the term used was expired. I was informed by the Metro Access or Metro representative that I needed to apply and that I was unaware of the expiration date. They stated that the expiration date is on your ID. I said I had not set up, you know, due to the pandemic, as I stated, and this pandemic is a catch-all, unfortunately, that because of the pandemic, my date had shifted a time or two because the pandemic was just long enough to force you into that kind of situation. So, hold on. So, basically, I said, okay, fine. Let's see, where do we need to go from now? Since I'm thinking it expired generally in August and it was, you know, not even May. I mean, it was barely May. And they said they could, I said, was there a alternative way to receive? I have since gone into the website, noted that they should call, that Metro Access should call and give you a 30 to 60 day notification that your expiration date is coming. I'm not confirming that that has happened, you know, so that did take place. I asked whether or not a letter was being sent out as it had been in the past. They said, we don't do that. I said, okay. Now, you know, I've been with Metro Access a long time. So in the course of my time, I have received that. Now, whether that's changed, that's perfectly fine. I feel with all the conversations we're having today alone about technology, automation, that if a person has their email address on file as a potential solution, perhaps a email could be issued as a method of automation to notify the consumer. I do have an appointment with my doctor to fill out the form for recertification. It is 6 weeks out. I have gotten the courtesy extension from 30 out to 45, 60 days, and that is fortunate, but I'd hope that that would not have had to happen. Last statement on that is, I believe if, much like what Paul said earlier about modifications to the customer service guide, if a consumer has the ability to get their card with Braille as a blind or visually impaired consumer, I don't know if that's noted anywhere so that consumer would be aware of that. So that's just situational awareness. Any comment from eligibility on that possible adjustment or addition to the current service and how to receive notification?
Well, let me start on the phone calls. But first, I thank your idea on the possible of the Braille on the ID card. Let me look into that. I think that's a pretty good idea. Let's see. Let me look into that. I don't see any. I don't have any opposition to it. I've got to learn and understand how that would work on plastic, as I'm more used to paper with Braille. But I like your idea. Now, in terms of the calls, those are occurring every day at 11:55 a.m. I get a report today, for example. We sent out 32 30-day notice calls. I saw that 26 were successful, 6 did not. That could mean numbers have changed or what have you. And today we sent out 88 60-day notices, with 54 of them having gone through successfully and 34 and then did not, and then the team follows up as we get closer to those expiration days. And if you ever find that to be a challenge, one of the things we did implement during the pandemic, and this is for all customers, we've been granting automatic extensions to give customers the time to get their applications completed and signed by the doctor and then sent in prior to the 21-day period that the ADA grants us to process an application. So I can assure you that the calls are absolutely being made, and I get a report every day, and they're even being made on Saturday and Sundays, which Sunday I was a little, I'm like, I don't know about that. But I think because of the importance of our service to people's lives, I said, if the 30-day is 30 days from a Sunday or 60, let's go ahead and leave the call on there. And so I can point to the report yesterday that calls were made yesterday and Saturday as well. So no, those calls are being made. The email address idea, I like those a bit, but I prefer, this is just my preference, and this just goes, and you all have seen us work this way. I'm an SMS guy. I'm a text message person. I believe that text message makes things a lot easier for all of us. And so what I'm trying to do with my team now is say, let's figure out how we can upfront segregate the text messages from the, excuse me, the cellular numbers from the home numbers. And let's almost exclusively use cellular numbers. Why would we call a person's home for their pickup at work? But that has happened, obviously. And then that takes up the no-show and all that other kind of drama. But in a matter of seconds, if I had those same 88 customers who 60 days are away from eligibility expiration, if I had all of their cell phone numbers, in a matter of 30, 40 seconds, I could send them each a text message to give them that reminder without any issue. So I like your idea on the emails. I'm not against it. I just believe a little more in SMS text messaging as a means of communicating with all customers without requiring customers necessarily to have smartphones or super special accounts with other providers, et cetera.
I'm not opposed to that as an alternative suggestion. Thank you very much, Mr. Blake.
And thank you for coming out on Thursday and being one of our initial user riders.
Thank you very much. It was well received.
Thank
you. Who's next? Do we have?
Next is Rico, then okay. Then Ms. Rush.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is if y'all have not seen the news, this is not about in Metro Access. This is about on Saturday. They have the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Unit with DC Police put a deaf person in the police shoes. They show us how they do the training. It was on this past Saturday. So the whole month of May, DC police is doing something. I sent an email, the copy of a flyer to the Parker, somebody asked your Metro Police Department, but no one respond back to me. I send them, I think last Tuesday, I sent an email to for someone from the Metro Transit Police to come and see how MPD working with the deaf and hard of hearing unit, but no one respond to my email. And I call the lady transferred me. I left a voicemail, still have not got a return call. So it would be appreciated that someone from the police side, to if somebody sent an email or call, it would be common sense for someone to return somebody's call or email. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Rico. Felipa, you're next.
Hi again. Just had a quick addition to make to my 650 Pennsylvania Avenue fiasco. Janice did remind me at one point when Metro Access was trying to book my return trip because they kept going to C Street, which actually, even if it's the garage, it's still, we had to go two blocks south and then a block east. Block west, I mean. But at any rate, when they were trying to rebook the trip, it kept coming up saying physical therapy. And that was all it said. No address, it just said physical therapy. So that happened a couple of times. So I just, you know, physical therapy had nothing to do with why I was there. It was a medical building, but I just wanted to throw that in as well for Mr. Blake's edification. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yes, and I love text messages. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Okay, we all know about 30 years of Metro Access, and it was celebrated on Thursday. I hope that further down the road, because Metro Access is my lifeline. It serves a great purpose in my life, that we acknowledge what we had discussed briefly offline, kind of, that the person who has the lowest number of the ID and is still using the service be acknowledged, the name of the person or something, because the service is important to a lot of people. And the new dedicated service user is really, really nice. But, you know, Mr. Blake wants to make sure our trips are nice for the first ride. But if that continues, you know, it's going to be wonderful. But I'm looking forward to a real trip that's not already, you know, set up. It was wonderful. The driver was pleasant. The ride was pleasant. The cars were nice. See you to the door. Help with the wheelchair, help anything you need. But he wants us to make sure that we say that they're nice, and it was. But I want to ride on a trip that they haven't already been advised.
Are you saying I orchestrated nice rides?
Come on, you know I know you. You know I'm looking at you with both my blind eyes. Okay. But it was appreciated. It was great.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, and it is our intent to keep that experience, and that's why I do work as much as I can with these unaffiliated Metro Access, these companies that are not affiliated officially with Metro Access, because I tell them, the better you perform in providing service to customers with disabilities, the better your performance for all customers will probably be, but more importantly, the more our customers may want to use your service. And that's been my message to all of them over these years.
You know, Thursday service was surfy sweet. It was too sweet. I was like, whoa, hold up.
Maybe we need to slow it down a bit so that the demand doesn't go that high. But listen, to your point, though, you gave us a great idea. Let's acknowledge the lowest member or eligibility ID customer we could find. And we have found that person. We're trying to reach the person to make sure that they want to be a part of some sort of celebration. Maybe they're private and don't want to their business out on the street. And then we'll go to the next highest number. But no, that was a great idea you gave us. We've identified the customer. And I'll put it like this here. Their number is less than 30.
Woo!
Less than that 30.
And they needs to be acknowledged. I hope that they want to participate, because that's a long, that 30 is really, yes, that's as low as you can go. And that means they've been riding since day one almost.
Right. And they just took a trip in the last 2 weeks. So they're using the service. So that's a great thing. So that was a great idea you gave us. We're working on something. And again, if they don't want to participate, we'll move up a little higher in the pecking order. But we do intend on celebrating Metro Access throughout the rest of this year. And it doesn't have to be official sort of, you know, over the top celebration, but just even bring it to a meeting and acknowledging and talking about what did they like, what they don't like back then, now, et cetera. So we're going to be celebrating Metro Access and
also
been our customers all year, because it's, without you, we wouldn't be here. And without your suggestions, recommendations, ideas, and experiences elsewhere, we couldn't just come here and try to make this service better and improve. So we thank you. We all appreciate each and every one of you, and we're going to continue to celebrate.
All right.
All right. I appreciate it. Okay.
So thank you. One last quick question before we close out, Mr. Blake, over here, and it has to do with Uber. Now, obviously, I know the animal, I know how to ride it, and I know how to work around it. So obviously, I have one infamous address, my work address, where if I put that address in for my workplace, my school, it wants to pick up a mile away. When I change it just by one digit, which I now get them to manually change, it brings it right next to my school by that alleyway next to that house address that's next door to it. And of course, the call center staff has worked with me tirelessly to, you know, because the address has to stay the same, because a Metro Access vehicle has to come pick me up. They need to pick me up at that site. But for Uber purposes, it has to be modified. And of course, when I have to do that change sometimes, you know, there have been resistance with staff, and I understand why, for safety reasons, even though I explained to them in text, there might be, and I noticed other, you know, circumstances like that. Like if it was any other regular place, you know, I know what the change needs to be to do the workaround, because I want to do the Uber for the convenience of it when it needs to happen as a alternative choice. But, you know, will that option exist? Like, for instance, with if things come in to rebook a trip and they've modified it, will the system eventually be able to do that too? Without, or do I still need to go to a human being for that?
Yeah, that's, you're really getting into
that. Yeah, but that, see, but that's just the beast of Uber. That's, there's certain addresses. Like, I took that trip where they did mistakenly do the correct address, and that driver followed that dot. It put me off on a separate street a mile away behind the building, and the driver insistently dropped me off. And of course, I had to call you-know-who to rebook that trip for me to get me from where I was at back, because they're like, we're not, you know, the driver put me out in the middle of the street, and I hate to say it, they followed their dot, and even though it wasn't the name of that street at all, and they were like, Uber's not paying me for extra miles to take you to that address. This is what it says, and this is what we're doing. And so that's the fear of that, unfortunately.
So what I need to do, a couple of things. Let's get a screenshot of this trip. Let's try to figure it out, and even just a test trip, so that when they take you to the wrong location, we can provide all that information to Uber, have another Uber trip kind of right there waiting for you, so that we can get Uber to update its map or go to its partner whose map it uses to update the
Because what I think
location.
it does when I look at the app, it looks behind that school, there's a field, and then it just maps it to a street that's a mile away. Because even on my map with that address to my school
So let
site,
me ask you a
it wants to
question.
do. So the question is,
But now let me ask you a question. Let me ask you
go
a
ahead.
question. Have you ever had a drop off using your personal Uber account, and does the same thing occur?
The same thing occurs. That's why it only works. It'll pick me up there on the Lyft application, but not an Uber. Uber and my personal Uber, it still does the same thing.
Same
That's
thing.
why I
So
don't
we'll
use
talk
Uber for it.
offline. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a separate. And as far as the our efforts at automation, let us first give you some convenience by not having to talk to an agent all the time. But when you have this particular issue, maybe
Well, I work
that'll
with
be.
staff and they get the modification done. I will say that, yes.
Yeah,
Because it
we'll
is a
work.
constant work trip.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that. But you and I can talk separately on this. Okay. So
Right,
the
so
interpreters have to leave, y'all.
all right, it's 6 p.m.
Okay,
and
but Miss.
can I get a motion to adjourn?
No, excuse me. I just got one more thing. This is Miss Rush. Mr. Blake, are you working on doing something about blind people have so much to fill out when they're blind? They don't have to reapply and papers and papers and papers. Are you
Real
working
quick,
on that?
well, we have the administrative recertification. So most people with visual disabilities are being administratively recertified, but we'll talk about it more at the next meeting.
Meeting. Yeah. I can put it
Thank
on the
you.
agenda.
Thank you.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
No,
All
what?
right. This meeting's now adjourned.
Thank you.